strike.
I'll pierce the arts.
So if you make a Bore Pre 8, right, on a vegetable, you're not Yotze. Pshita, of course. Strange. That's only necessary for who? For Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that what?
Wheat is a type of tree.
But still
a Priya Dhamma, and you would think that you could say a Priya Eitz on it?
Correct.
Wait, no.
How does that work?
Is it still a Priya Dhamma?
Because no one's saying it's would still then fall into the category of Priya Dhamma, that you then said a Priya Eitz on.
But doesn't that mean you think it is a Priya Eitz, though?
Well, it says, Yal Peiros Ha'aretz, right? Bo Re Priya Eitz, Lo Yatsa.
Right.
That's according to who? To Rabbi Yehuda. So what does he mean, Peiros Ha'aretz? He means Chita.
It seems like anything else, Chita stands.
Anything else is Pasha. Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
So, so since he holds, it's a type of Elan, even though Rabbi Yehuda would seem, it was only a Havanina, that the Dievid would be Yotze, right? Who was just saying that? Right? That even Rabbi Yehuda would seem to agree that L'chatchili should make a Bore Pri Adam on it.
Right.
But since he happens to also hold the type of a tree, you might think that the Dievid Yotze with the Bore Pri Ha'etz.
Otherwise, it'd be a funny way for the Mishnah to express, like, to exclude Rabbi Yehuda by saying, if on a Pri Ha'adam, he made a Bore Pri Ha'etz.
Right.
Because if he really held it was just an Elon and not a Dhamma at all, then
right.
It's not a Bore Pri Ha'etz.
It should be the same as the first half. The first half was that Bidyavid Yotze, here is Bidyavid Yina Yotze. But the basic question is that it's bizarre, right? To say that a stalk of wheat is a tree, is a type of a tree. Because how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds his way? How do we know Rabbi Yehuda holds his way?
Titania.
That's by Noach.
Right.
So, I guess he didn't like Yayin Yismach Levav Enosh.
Also, what does it mean, Ella Yayin? Could another thing produce the same
kind of fruit? Fruit. Fruit, yeah. Because this is what happened afterwards.
Yeah, because here the Yalala is the very fact that they ate from the tree. Regardless of what the tree was, it was maybe Misa or whatever, like Rashi says. So
right. So three of my machlokas here, right, on what was the Eitz Hadas, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Rabbi Meir says that what? It's a grape. It was a grape vine, right? It was a, what do you call a grape, you don't call it a tree, right?
Grapevine.
Vineyard. What's that?
Vineyard.
That's just a lot of vine.
It's just like orchard.
Right, but it actually
good
comes
example.
From the word vine. Anyway. Okay. That's Rabbi Meir. Go ahead. And what's his argument? What's his reasoning? What's his reasoning? Because what Rashi say, maybe shehu hevi yalala.
Yeah, hevi misa.
So the Eitz Hadas caused misa. So you want to know what is it that caused the misa? It's the thing that in general causes bad, causes moaning. I mean,
lamentation.
Okay.
Dr. Marcus.
Okay. Let's see the positions, and we'll come back. Go ahead.
Rebbe Nechemia Omer Teina Haisa. Shebedavar Shenispalku Lubo Niskinu. Shenemar Vayisbrola Teina.
Bo Niskinu. So the thing that they got, the thing that they were, the thing that they caused the harm, is the thing that they got the fix from. So what was the fix? What was the takana? That they made clothing. So since it says that they made clothing from the fig leaves, right? So that shows you that that's where the takala came from.
But you'd only know that if you knew that it was also the thing that they were.
It says that. It says that's what they got the leaves. That's where they made the clothing from.
That they got it from the Eitz HaDaas.
No.
They got it from the fig.
That's his argument, though.
Right. But we don't know that.
His argument is that the fig leaves.
Yeah,
thing.
This is his argument. His argument is that that's the midas kares brachu.
Oh, yeah.
Dovash neskalku lubo niskinu. Okay. Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda.
Rabbi Yehuda or Chita Haisa. She'er hatkinat yodea likros abu b'ima ad shiyatom ham dagan.
Hard. That one's hard.
Or actually, v'zeh nikra Eitz HaDaas.
Still hard.
I can read on.
That's the easiest one. Okay, explain it to me.
Okay. I'll try.
Shot.
Oh, shot? Yeah, well, yeah, you can't say, the first thing you have to say is you can't say they're really arguing what the eights was.
No, just rebuke it.
I know. What do you mean?
How does he know the eights HaDaas was a chita?
That's what I'm telling you. No one knows that. That's not what they're arguing about.
That's definitely shot.
That's impossible. Because first of all, even if
so
they
what
knew,
does he mean?
Even
what
if they knew,
mean?
Even if they knew, they wouldn't argue Matzias.
What does he mean, chita ha'isa?
That's what I'm trying to explain. You can't say that they're arguing about what the tree was, because even if they did know, even if they had a Masorah 3 million years old.
Isn't that how we know that Rabbi Yehuda holds the chita the main Iman?
I can explain that. I can explain that. Why you could still hold that even though you hold it. It's not there earlier on the trees.
Let me ask you another question then. And
do a question, but I think
Matt, you're digging your own grave today.
Maybe I am.
I want to hear this. This sounds cool.
Yeah, me too.
You can't say that they're arguing over the Jews because for two reasons. Number one, it was
they weren't there.
They had 3,000 years before. Number two, they're not going to argue on Matzias. They're not going to argue on Matzias. That's ridiculous.
They're not going. No one argues on Matzias that you can find out, but Matzias you can find out. You can argue about.
Okay. I still think there's no way they could have known that. You know, there's no. I don't get.
I agree. That's why they can argue.
Right. Okay. So I think they're trying to do is just trying to they're trying to give you an insight into the story of Gan Eden through the tree. You know what I'm saying? They don't really mean that the tree was a particular thing. They're just trying to give you an insight into the story, and they're just using the tree to give you that insight. That's all.
Would anybody else hold that that a chit doesn't mean?
What do you mean?
Could any other Tana hold the feet of the Manila?
Could anyone else? I don't think he really knows that.
He doesn't hold the feet of the
Manila. I think the mission is just trying to show you how he knows Gana, and in other words, it's a theoretical how he knows Gana. But they're just using this Agarata because it happens to be that there's a Shita that holds that it's a Manila in the Agarata. What I'm saying, but it's not really that.
Is this whole Gemara a metaphor for something that I'm missing?
Metaphor? I don't know.
Okay. Can you? Do I have to have the full length explanation? Can I just have a short explanation? What does Rabbi Yehuda say? Chita min ilan chita haisa. She'ena tinok yodea likros abba v'ima ad shiyatom tap tzavim. What does that mean?
What is his shita? You mean what does he mean? Well,
you want how
he's saying that.
You want how
saying
he, well, I think how he says is it a tree or is it how does it make sense?
I think he's saying that
Am I being difficult? Am I asking something unreasonable?
Do you want to know what how he says it?
I mean, you want to know
how he says
you want to know what the Agarata means? What does it mean that?
I want to know what does a child eating dagon have to do with?
Okay, I'll tell you. I think it means like this. I think it means that I think that a child goes through a certain like psychological transformation, okay, like growth. It corresponds to certain physical growth, you know. Like when a child could eat, when he grows up enough to eat chita, which is a certain like level of physical growth.
Right.
So he goes through a certain psychological transformation. And I think
you can say abanima.
Yeah. But, yeah. Right. We have to explain what that means. But I think that reflects a certain transformation that happened to Adam when he ate HaDaas. I think that's what he said.
I have a different
view. So he's trying to use that, you know, in other words, the same, a parallel transformation that takes place when a kid is old enough to eat a chita, you know, a certain psychological work takes place at that age, is a parallel transformation that took place in Adam when he ate from the Eitz Hadas.
Okay, so Eitz Hadas, so when it says it's the Eitz Hadas, right, is Rabbi Yehuda saying it was a chita? I'm still a little confused. Is he saying the pshat in the pasuk is it was that they ate?
No, I don't think so.
I wonder what you're saying.
Now if you skip everybody else, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chita Hayisa.
From the Gemara, it has to be that he's saying that.
Pita. I don't understand how you could.
And then he's just giving you his argument, which is, how do I know this?
Yes.
I know.
Did the other Shita hold? Did Rabbi Nechemiah hold that he ate a date?
Okay, maybe I'm totally.
I mean
wrong.
A fig.
I don't think
yes.
And the other guy held the ate.
I don't know
who to maintain that.
I'm totally wrong. Yes. I thought there was no way they could know what the guy ate.
Yeah. They could have a theory. They can have a theory.
Like,
say singular grape.
That is a singular word, grape.
No.
Hebrew.
Anov. Anovim is.
Yeah.
But he's talking about the eights. The Geffen is the eights. Pre Hagoffen is the fruit of the.
You didn't eat the Geffen.
No. It says Elon she'ocho mimenu gefen hoya. You read the words, right? Okay. I mean, you have a whole metaphysical shiur prepared.
I was just trying to get the shot in the air out of them.
Wow.
I guess the first step was wrong, and I thought there's no way they could.
Well, the first step of getting the pshat in Yagata is to get what the words, to understand what the words say.
But I didn't think you could take it literally.
But then the whole Gemara doesn't make sense.
Why?
I understand.
See, like God is.
Then why is that clause in the mission?
I don't think it's the only thing you can't take literally.
I mean, in general, you say you don't take something literally if it's an impossible thing.
That's what I thought. That's
why is it impossible to say he ate a chita? I don't see why that's impossible.
How are they possibly know?
You don't actually know, but it is a fact. But there's a lot of focus about it. Like, they had one pox, so the question was,
did Avram have a daughter?
Wait, so
right. Can't you just like
impossible?
Deduce it from the
so
ideas that you have of Torah?
Focus. Did Avram have a daughter? What is like Bakol, right? I know Ibn Ezra Ramban would go back with, but I think the Ramban quotes is a machlokas. I think he holds it's a marshal, maybe it's good for you. But pshat wise, you can't ignore the pshat. No, it's I don't mind taking an idea, but you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda is not saying that he ate chita. You can't say that. You could say that why did he say it's chita? Because chita represents X, Y, and Z. But you can't say he didn't say he ate chita. I mean, I don't see how you can say that. You can't say, in other words, look, let me put it this way. You have an obligation to study Chumash. Right? So you get to the pasuk and it says the eight from the eights Hadas. So they try to understand what was the Eitz Hadas. Like everything else, he dashed and tried to dash, and what was the Eitz? There's a pshat in the pasuk. What's the pshat? What was the Eitz? Isn't there a pshat in the pasuk? Isn't there a meaning? Wasn't that a tree? Wasn't that some tree? So what tree was it? So they're discussing different they have different approaches with different methodologies to try to arrive at what that tree was. I think it'd be instructive if we could see the different approaches. I mean, the Rebbe Nechemiah has a clear approach. He holds that he's using Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to figure it out. Using an idea in Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the thing that has the Takala also has the Takana in it. That's one of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since you see the Takana of being aware of their nakedness was taking the leaves of the fig tree. So, and there is an idea that the thing that has the kilkul has a takana. So using that methodology, you arrive at a conclusion that it's the Eitz HaDaas was the fig tree. Right?
Can you share what that means?
he's not making up that idea. But the question is, can you use that to figure out what the Eitz HaDaas was? That's the machlokas from Nechemiah, Rav Yehuda, and Remeir. What methodologies are proper methodologies to arrive at the conclusion of what the Eitz HaDaas was? But you can't just ignore everything they're saying and just jump into a philosophical thing. You have to take what they're saying. I mean, the primary thing is what he's saying. From Nechemiah is saying, use this methodology to figure out what the Eitz HaDaas was. Okay? And what is the methodology of Rabbi Meir?
Something to do with a kid learning to speak.
No, Rabbi Meir.
Because he says that you see that the onesh of eating it was going to be mothers. So it must be the thing itself had something, a property in it, which led...
Correct. And he says he goes by the qualities of the thing. Right? There are different approaches, and of course they're going to result in different solutions. And you can argue about what's the proper methodology in figuring this thing out. But, like everything else, you have to choose a methodology to arrive at a conclusion. You can argue about what's the proper methodology. But there is a methodology. So Rabbi Meir's arguing from the qualities of the thing itself. He says this thing had an imposed quality of Yalala. And he argues that would fit, it should be the thing that has a natural quality of Yalala. That's the thing that should be chosen to. I'm not saying I fully understand the thing, but I'm just trying to say let's just explain the that's his approach. So those two approaches I can understand. You go by the quality of the thing, or you go by an idea of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what is Rabbi Yehuda's approach? That's like what is the approach? He said, "That was let me put it this way." There's very limited information given about the Eitz HaDaas, right? Very limited information given about the Eitz HaDaas. So you're trying to take information that you have, correct, and use that. You go from the known to the unknown. That's how we always learn things, right? From the known to the unknown. We extrapolate from the things that we know, certain ideas, and we try to apply them and arrive at conclusions that we didn't have before, right? So Rabbi Nechemiah is saying, I know this idea of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the story of the Eitz HaDaas there was a takana, so I can apply from what I do know, right, to the story, take that piece of information, and arrive at a conclusion. And Rabbi Meir has a different approach. Right, I know that in Bracious it also says that Yayin was a destructive thing in the formation of in the history of man, and this is also a destructive thing in the history of man. Okay, I mean it's a certain approach, but what is Rabbi Yehuda's approach? That's what I don't understand.
So why can't we say like Matthew saying it marks some sort of transformation?
But what is he going from, the known to the unknown? What is he taking in the story that indicates that
it's being called the Eitz HaDaas.
Okay. So he's saying it's from the word Das. From the fact that it's called... No, he's focusing... That's what I'm just trying to point out. You can't just ignore the whole thing. Right? He's saying it's called the Eitz HaDaas. Right? Why is it called the Eitz HaDaas? Why was it called the Eitz HaDaas? Yeah, explain to me. But what does it have to do with the Chita? What does it have to do with...
Sorry, a transformation of... not having knowledge to a state where they then did have knowledge. Especially by the child, where it shows it's a marking that before they were unable to identify the mother and father, and now they are.
So he's saying that just like in the development of a child, first the child eats Dagon. I'm just trying to... childwise, right?
Well, what is it?
Because it's an Eitz HaDaas, meaning it results in knowledge. So what grows on a tree that results in knowledge?
I'm just saying.
Brain food.
That's what he's saying. You must say, right? He's saying just like in a child, the child eats chita, and it's part of his development of his das.
Is he setting it up as a causative effect, or is he saying that it just comes hand in hand?
It seems causative, or it's just a marking.
Like he's having Dagon, and it happens to be that now he's learning to speak.
We can argue about that, but he's saying that what? He's saying that why is it called the Eitz HaDaas? Why is it called the Eitz HaDaas?
It's linked in some way.
Give it
Das.
But it's more than that. Isn't it more than that?
More than what?
Why not just say that it's marking the transformation of man into a different kind of thing?
No, that wouldn't be good. In other words, he's saying, how do you know it's chita? He's saying it's chita. How do you know it's chita? Because that is a food in reference to das, correct? So if it's called the Eitz HaDaas, it must be. No, that is a reference to what it is. No, if I would tell you this is an Eitz HaDaas, and that's supposed to be a reference to an actual thing, right? What food can be called a food of Das?
I don't think any food has that problem.
Wheat.
This is proven by the case of a child who...
What do you mean it's proven? Why does he
eat weird at
that time?
What?
Doesn't he run into a wall though when he sees the word eights? Yeah,
it's a dot, but it also says
eights. No, that's what he learns. He learns that a chita is a mini one. Yeah.
What is it? Quickly, is it the
what? There's some wheat in there.
What does the
wheat
like,
it's actually smashed up dates.
What does
the relevant? Relevant to you.
I'm trying to cover myself with the wrapper, though.
what does do they gain from the dots?
See, that's what I'm saying. He's not saying that it's the Eitz HaDaas because of the knowledge that they gain. That's what I'm trying to...
It's the name of the fruit.
Oh, he's just saying that? Oh, okay.
He's not saying it's called the Eitz HaDaas because it gave them knowledge.
It's brain food.
That could be anything.
Okay.
He's saying the Eitz HaDaas is its name. What we refer to. That's something that we would call an Eitz HaDaas.
Yeah, why does he believe that wheat has some sort of... Well,
then it has nothing to do with transformation.
It has nothing to do with their transformation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then I think I'm
But he's saying that what? He's saying if the Eitz HaDaas is wheat, because that is the... It's a statement to us. Torah's telling you what it is. Am I wrong? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out the chart.
Meaning like if people were to call a certain thing head food, and you were to refer to it as a head food, then right. That would be a way of telling people that food.
Correct.
Just like you would with any word.
Right, so he's saying that what word, what food could be referred to as a fruit of Das? He's saying, well, in the development of a child, when you're an adult, there's no food you can call that. Right? Because there's no magic pill that makes you smart. There's no food that makes you smart. But whether it's causative or not, I don't know. But he's saying that you can tell there's a certain stage of development in a child before the child gets das, the minimal das of ability to recognize and communicate. Right? Recognize and communicate. Apparently that's the minimal, that's a first beginning of das, is to recognize and communicate. Right?
It's also abba, the
right, differentiation.
To recognize the different.
But, and what food must the child, in his development, food the child must start eating to be healthy at that stage is wheat.
It's just the way that people refer to it.
A child has to be healthy at that stage, and the natural health of a child at that stage is to eat grain. A child would be considered sick if it weren't eating grain at that point. Maybe it would still say abanima, but it still is associated with that level of. It's the appropriate food for the level, for the stage of das.
That's just a coincidence.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I'm not 100% sure if it's a coincidence or not. But he's arguing from the proper diet at the stage of das. Just because you can get, in other words.
It's a good question.
We're trying to understand what etadas means. What does that relate to in the physical world?
Okay.
So, what do people refer to as an etadas? What would people call that?
What it relates to.
It's like talking to someone. If I were to say brain food, you would think fish. Now, that has nothing to do with the brain? That's a way of saying fish.
Look, let me ask you a question. If you're sick and you take a medicine to cure you, but it cures you in a week, and if you wouldn't have taken the medicine, it would have taken you a month. So we'd say, well, that was not a medicine, because it would have gotten better anyway.
What's the connection?
Connection here is that I am positing, and you could disprove me, but you have to do it. That a child at that stage is not going to be as healthy and have all of its faculties if it's not having the proper diet. So it's true. It might be able to. To in a minimal way interact on that level, but this food definitely is a contributing factor to its ability to progress and the whole development of the person.
It needs to die, but you could also say it's not going to be able to have all those faculties if it's sitting in a pile of its own feces. I mean, there's other things that are going.
Yeah, it'll call abba and ima at that point. As long as eating.
That was a little graphic. Yeah. So that was all necessary.
I think you offended
the pile
maybe.
Is overdoing it.
That's where I got a little.
Anyway, let's not get the point I'm trying to make is that I don't want to. My point is the approach. His approach is he's identifying the food based on a quality that it's associated with. Based on he's saying that wheat is associated with the stage of development of das. Whether it's necessary, contributory, completely extraneous, I don't know. We can. That's a separate question. But it's the approach. That's his approach. Okay. But in the end of the day, Rabbi Meir held they ate grape, right? Rabbi Nechemia held they ate fig. And Rabbi Yehuda held they ate wheat. Apparently, they must have refined it. I mean, it puts a whole different picture to the story.
Somebody could have just eaten raw kernels.
I guess could have.
What's the case of Kosei Sefita?
Kosei Sefita, they make a bracha.
Right.
But
now you even know what bracha they made.
Well, you get, you don't make a bracha on Isser. But the thing is like this. For our purposes, so what does this show you? That, like Gabi is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda must hold, in order to arrive at this conclusion, he must hold that a chita is a min ilan. Otherwise, the pashtus of the story would exclude the possibility. Right?
So he came in with the idea that chita is min ilan.
I don't know. That's a good question.
He was at least open to it.
I mean, it doesn't matter, I guess.
That's a good question. That's a good question. But the problem is like this. The problem is like this. The problem is like this. That each one of these, it's three questions, it's three possibilities on what the Eitz HaDas was, right? But it's not three machlokas on what an eitz is, right? No, it's a three-way machlokas on what the eitz hadas was. But where do you see it's a three-way machlokas on what an eitz is? You wouldn't say that Rabbi Nechemia doesn't hold the geffen as a poetry is an eitz, or Rabbi Meir doesn't hold the ain as an eitz, right? So why don't you say, you see from here, really everybody holds it's an eitz. They're just arguing about which one it is. Why do you say it's a machlokas on what an eitz is?
Right? The other ones, you'd have a havamina.
Yeah, why is it only a havamina to Rabbi Yehuda? Well, I say on the contrary. You see that all you see is they're arguing about which one is an eitz. Well, you don't draw the conclusion from... Huh?
Why do you have to say that?
It's just, it doesn't...
I mean, why do you say they're arguing on two things? Why do you say they're arguing on two things?
I mean, isn't the Gemara just saying...
And also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so why don't you make a bar b'riyas? Right?
Isn't that all the Gemara saying? That from Rabbi Yehuda's statement, he's the only one
no,
who sees that.
No, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right.
Lo nitzachor el Rabbi Yehuda. Dom rachita min ilani.
Right, so...
But really, all he said is, you wouldn't say Rabbi Nechemia is saying Te'ina is a min ilan. Anything?
I mean, the Gemara makes it sound like he's the one who holds that it's a min ilan.
That's right.
But the source doesn't really say that.
But it's funny. I mean, you could push off the question. I agree. You can push off the question. But the question is, you don't. Why do you say over here that they're arguing about what an eitz is? All they're arguing about is what the eitz hadas was. But you don't say that Rabbi Nechemia disagrees that the geffen is an eitz, or Rabbi Meir disagrees that Te'ina is an eitz. So why do you say that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing on two things and everybody else is only arguing on one thing?
Yeah, they are positing that within their thing. It's just Rabbi Yehuda happens to be going against the flow with what he's saying.
Because you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying two things. He's saying the Eitz Hadas was a Chita. Plus it's an Eitz. Plus Chita is an Eitz. Everybody else is only arguing on which is the Eitz Hadas.
How do you know everyone else argues this?
Because the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara says. Right? But the other question is, the main question is, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say Bari Pri Eitz? Why aren't you Yotzi with the Bari Pri Eitz? Correct. What's the talk of that? The Chamina, the what?
What will the Amar Rabbi Yehuda feed the Menilah be? Liberal of Bari Pri Eitz? Marshmallow,
no. So what does it go by? So hecha mevarchinan bar b'eitz.
Hecha mevarchinan bar b'eitz. Hecha dechish shakaltalei lepire isei legibuza v'hadar mabe.
So when do you make a bar b'eitz? When you take the pri and the onof shel eitz, Rashi says, still remains. Right? V'hadar mabek piri achrini.
He means it stays or like it comes.
It is.
Right.
Not also. Also is it comes. Isay is this. The other mapik oval heich and another one grows. Right. Oval heicha dechishakatalei piri, right? Dewa and the tree dies. then you don't say Borei Priyates. So you don't have the tree anymore. Then you don't say Borei Priyates. You make a Borei Priyates Dhamma. So what's the Havamir of Rabbi Yehuda? I mean, it's difficult. It's difficult. Now we once discussed, right? Yeshua Nechemiah remembers. We once discussed how is it possible to call a chita an eitz. I mean, how is that possible? How is it possible to call it an eitz? I mean, that's another question according to Rabbi Yehuda. Let me ask you pshat question. Max, yeah. You can redeem yourself on the pshat here. Okay? Would Rabbi Yehuda have this havamina by a pepper? Or a caper. Actually, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Is Rabbi Yehuda have like a whole different shita? That all vegetables are really plants are trees?
It seems like it, but it's hard to see something special by paper.
Don't you have to say that? I mean, you can say you only hold by wheat.
That's my question to you.
Seems like you have to say that's if he really holds that this is a manilan, so then everything that falls into that category of produce was also a manilan.
I don't know about that. I mean, wheat's kind of unique compared to other vegetables. It doesn't grow as much.
But then why would
what do you mean?
Why would he be picking out wheat if that's a whole category?
Maybe
pick some example.
Or is it just wheat?
Or would it be all grain?
And these other, things are there's other vegetables that are the same, all in the same category.
I think he says corn.
Yeah. If other vegetables grow the same way, let's say they fit, they fit into that. He hold that this category of this type of produce is a manilan, then you have to say anything that falls into the same category. If there is such a thing, that other vegetables are in the same category as a wheat thing.
I don't see how we can answer this question without having some ideas to how it is he's able to say chitas. It's because then we have no rule as to how to bring it out to other cases. He might have a havamina that it would work by other things as well, depending upon what his rule was. Like, if it was the way grains grow, then it would be just by all grains.
Yeah, so what do you say? So you're giving me an affirmative or you're saying that...
I would say that if there are other types of produce that fall into the same category as wheat, as long as it's not its own special, thing of, botanically, then he would hold that all those other things are in the same fall in the same category. Of
anything that grows like wheat, he holds.
Right.
Even if it's a completely different thing, like
pepper.
Pepper. You can say pepper, like
sugarcane. Like
corn. American corn. American corn. This is what you might think is like, what they translate as corn, I think a lot of times it's not really corn. Because corn is only in America.
On wheat, is the kernels are just at the top, or they're all the way?
All the way.
Like inside of the...
At the top, what are you talking about?
Just the top?
No, there's no, it's not branch?
Not branch, that's right. Oh, but it's not
just
the
whole... Just at
the top.
So what does he mean it's a min elon but you can't make a Borei Priyates on it? There's a lot of questions over here. First of all, how could you say it's a min elon? It just seems against logic. I mean,
can you proceed without answering that question?
Depends what kind of answer you give on the other question. And then how can you say you don't need to say, and how do you say you can't even be Yotzei by calling it a Priyates when it is an Elon? And the Torah says, what's the pasuk? It says they ate from the peros of the eights.
Yeah.
I mean, because according to him, they didn't eat from the tree of the eights. They ate the eights.
No. The chitan. The Elon is the chita. The elan that they ate from was
the dugout.
So they didn't eat the tree of the eight.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they ate the dugout.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
They did a whole threshing process.
They
made bread.
They ate the grapes, or they're all speaking in the same way.
Yeah, I understand that. But
see, I think
you don't need the stock.
There is.
Kernel.
Chita has dagan.
Eight is like the straw and then the stock.
Yeah,
that's right.
And I'm like, can I say it's kind of like how the Kabbalah was saying, with like the fact that the eights is just considered part of the Adama.
But this is the opposite. This is saying that what you're calling, what is really a vegetable, what's really pre-Adama, how do you call it pre? Well, I can say the other way. It technically is growing on a tree, but we can consider the tree part of the ground in terminology. See, I think this Gemara is revolving around a different question than we've been dealing with up to this point. I think it's a question of terminology. I mean, similar. I mean, you're thinking in the right direction, but you can't just apply the Ritva's case over here. But I do think you're right. It's in that same realm. In other words, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that the pshat in the pasuk is that the eitz hadas is chita, right? That's what he holds the pshat in the pasuk is. Now we should address that, but we don't have to address it right now. Since he holds the pshat in the pasuk of eitz hadas is referring to the chita, right? You might think that if on a chita you make a borei priho eitz, since in the lashon of the pasuk it refers to the chita, b'di'eved yotze. In other words, as long as the bracha, it's a separate question over here. Question is that when you make a bracha, you have to refer to the thing that you're making the bracha on, right, Jeremy?
Yeah.
You have to refer to the thing that you're making, that you're going to be nana from. Now, the normal reference is via its definition in terms of how it grows. And Rabbi Yehuda knows it's not a tree. Wheat does not grow like a tree. No question, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have a new idea of how that wheat is really of the botanical species of trees. It's just preposterous. Okay.
So what does it mean, Minyan?
What's that?
So then, what does it mean, Minyan?
So he means to say, though, that in the lashon of the pasuk, it's referred to as eights, and therefore, you—that's the havamina. That maybe you'll say, in other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you say borei priha eights on the chita, it's like you're saying borei chita. You understand? In the lashon, if you take the lashon of the pasuk, in other words, if you hold, okay, that the eitz hadas is chita, okay, correct? The havamina according to Rabbi Yehuda was that when I make the bracha borei priha eitz, I can use the term normally priya eitz is referring to a type of growth. But I can use it in the lashon of the pasuk. And in the lashon of the pasuk it would be a direct reference to the chita. Through the pshat of the pasuk, it would be an allusion to chita itself. You understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, can you say that bidyeved Yabiyotze in a reference, not via the type of growth, but via the lashon of the pasuk?
But the way the Gemara presents the
pasuk is legitimate.
What's that?
If your whole thing is basically saying that, so far as lashon itself is concerned, this would not be a good reference. The only reason we can get away with it with the Evid is because the pasuk used that lashon. Doesn't that just push?
That's not what I'm
on?
Saying. No. That's not
well,
exactly.
Well, the pasuk uses that same lashon to reference chita. So by way of the pasuk, we're saying we're really referencing.
No, no. Listen, what I'm trying to say. That there's a certain, you have to mention the object that you're going to eat, right? Now, what's the normal way to reference it? Via its type of growth. We don't make brachos on specific things, right? We don't say borei tapuach.
Like systems
right.
of priors and priori.
So we use terminology that refers to types of, to the species that it's in, the type of growth that it's in. Okay? But the question with Rabbi Yehuda was that maybe you'll say that if you'll use the term Bore Priyoates by the Chita, it'll be a reference Bidieved, not via the not using Priyoates in the normal sense of terminology of Brachos, which would be its type of growth. But since he happens to hold that's the Pshat in the Pasuk by the Eitz Hadas, that in the Lashon HaTorah it's considered a reference to the Chita. You understand? It's a different type of a reference, not the normal reference of Bracha. So you might say, B'di'eved, you're still Yotzei. Even though, no, you might say, that Lichat Chila, you're supposed to use the terminologies of how it grows. But B'di'eved, you can use any Torah terminology for the thing. And since the Torah does call the Chita an Eitz, then in the Lashon of the Torah, it's like you're referring to the Chita.
But there you're not referencing.
Why the Torah
he gets
it
the idea because he holds that the Eitz Hadas was a Chita.
Yeah, but then
why the Torah call it
Eitz
Hadas? That's a separate question. That's the first question we avoided for a minute. But you know what I'm saying? That's why I'm saying that it's only a question. It's not that Rabbi Yehuda is really arguing with the others about what a tree is versus what a vegetable is. They're really purely arguing over there on the pshat and the pasuk. What's the eitz in the Torah, in the story of Gan Eden? What was that thing that they ate? But now that will have a ramification in a havamina in bracha, because it'll come out that by this particular thing, the chita, it wouldn't work by a pepper, I'm saying. But by the chita, you might say, b'di'eved, it's still considered a b'di'eved reference to the chita via the Lashon HaTorah.
So according to what you're saying, it's not...
The maskana is that you must reference it via its growth. It's not a halacha that you have to reference it, and the chatchila we use the method of growth, but b'di'eved, any halachic reference would be good. No, the maskana is... It has to be in terms of its creation. It has to be a priha'etz. Priha'etz has to be in the way it grows. The reference must incorporate the way it grows. And by chita, it doesn't. By chita, there's just an anomaly that since he holds that in the story of the Torah, the Eitz Hadas was a chita, it would be a roundabout reference. It would be an unusual reference, not referring to it in terms of its type of growth, but it would be almost like a remez to the thing. Like if you know Torah well, you know that there's a remez to the chita in the word eitz, in the word eitz. You understand? It would be a remez to it.
But how can you even...
Hold on. But it would be a remez to the chita. You understand? It wouldn't be a remez to a carrot. It wouldn't be a remez to... kasha. It wouldn't be to buckwheat. to alfalfa. It wouldn't be a reference to any of those things that they grow in fields like that. but the maskana is that it's not that you have to have some reference. Maskana is it must be a shevach in the bria itself. And therefore you have to go, the reference can only be interpreted in terms of how things grow. And since chita does not grow like a tree, you cannot be yotzei at all. You understand?
Yeah. But according to what you're saying, it's just, the Gemara is a little misleading. It's not that Rabbi Huda comes in and he holds that chita is menilah. He just says it.
You can't take the shot so seriously.
Right, no, I'm just saying. He's coming in and says it's called Eitz Hadas.
No, you're right.
And
then
he knows the only thing that relates to Das is Chita.
You're right. If you want to ask a kasha on me, that's the strongest kasha. I agree it's a kasha. What does it mean, Chita min Ilani?
Yeah.
I think, you'll have to interpret it a little less.
But it means, I have to interpret it. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm open to other suggestions. I mean, that's the way I see. That's the way I understand. This is a question, it's not a machlokes in is weed a tree, but it's a machlokes in the type of reference that is good b'di'evit. You understand? And it only comes about because of a strange thing that Reb knows. When they were arguing about the Eitz HaDaas, they were just arguing about the Eitz HaDaas. Now it turns out that you might say, according to Reb Yehuda, in his own framework, since he knows his shita and he holds that's the pshat in the pasuk, that you might say, according to that, you'd be yotze b'di'evit. Yeah.
It's like a whole new idea in like brachot.
Yes.
No, I thought the whole point was that it was like it was a reference like the creation or like the
lechatchila. Well, that's the question: is that lechatchila or is that b'di'evit?
I don't.
That's the question.
Where does he even get this idea that you can just make a reference?
I don't know.
Didn't you ever go to that's you know, like all the in the tefillas, I mean, in the illegal, the
but I mean specifically in bracha, like we have this concept that you're making reference to the bria, and where does he all of a sudden come to, oh, maybe you can just I mean, haven't even
heard that.
That's what he holds the pshat, though, is in the pasuk. He holds that's the lashon of the pasuk. Yes, he had another idea, lady. Don't let me scare you. Just because
we didn't know how to work it out, but we want to say that factually he really does hold it to minilah. But the thing is that
difficult, right?
It's very difficult. But we want to say the question.
I mean, let me ask you a simple question. Would you be chayev in, is it chayev in, what do you call it?
Kenyas?
Yes.
Of course not.
Let's say I have a question.
Yes, of course.
So it's going to come out to a funny thing. He's going to hold it as a mini Elon, but every halacha that has to do with the tree, he's going to go by this other definition.
Well, I mean, we want to say it, like...
So in what sense is it a mini Elon?
Right.
You can't make a bori pareis on it. Not chayiv in orla. Obviously not chayiv in orla because you don't have 3 years.
Klayim
it's not because it's zera. I mean, it's zrayim. It's
so it's just the reference to the pasuk that
he agrees.
It's
to, like,
just because the Torah calls it an eitz. In the lashon of a bracha, you might think of Yotze.
But that's the problem, because you're saying that it's shot in the pasuk.
Okay, that's
you
the
are
question. We can talk about it. Now,
you said you were open to other suggestions, and then you just never rolled out. not really open.
Other legitimate suggestions.
The door was closed. You didn't get in there. No. It's a question. Look, no, you can ask me the question on me. You can ask me my question. I'm asking your question. No, I mean, look. The point is this. That there are in learning, it's very hard to get to a certainty. But what do you do when you don't have a certainty?
You eliminate everything else.
That's one possibility.
Which we're eliminating.
But you have to look. What's that?
Which we're eliminating.
You have to look at the merits and the problems of the different approaches. And you have to see which ones have... You have to look at two things. Some problems are just inescapable. Right? And so those, if there's a problem that's just inescapable, then that kills the whole thing. But sometimes there's a problem like that's not an inescapable thing, but it does sort of take away from the certainty. So you have to evaluate the different approaches and say which one's merits are greater than its problems. So it's like the Kuzari says with the question of was the he says that when Aristotle was discussing is the universe eternal or was it created, he says Aristotle knew he couldn't know that. The Metzius question, he couldn't know it, right? So but Aristotle was a big chacham, so a chacham knows that when you have a problem like that, that you can't really get to it conclusively. You just have to look at the positives and the negatives of each side and see which ones tip the scale, and your mind has to follow the one that you feel has more partakes of the MS. Each side had problems. Eternity and creation, to Aristotle, each had problems. But he says, but what a chacham has to do in that type of situation is see which side he holds has the ichor of the truth, and the questions are just things that you have a certain faith that can be resolved. And then we have to... So that's what I'm saying. When I say I'm open to your suggestion, then I ask you questions, that's not saying that I'm excluding your possibilities, but I'm saying we have to see both things. We have to see what you're saying with its questions, and then we can evaluate it.
Like I said, yeah, it's just tough when... You know,
see,
we recognize
at least
it
according
was
to me, I could say it's a min ilan in the Lashon HaTorah. Right. What are you saying?
Right. No, it's just, I mean, we also saw it as a problem. We couldn't get our heads around it, but I guess it's, at a certain point you have to just
right.
be willing to say that it's impossible that I mean that. Right? We didn't necessarily have the courage to do it.
So, but the question is, how can you call it an ace? Semantically, how can you call it an ace? So we said, I don't remember exactly what we concluded, but we said that a little bit of armchair etymology, right?
That's the most generic term.
That what? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the most, or the Torch wanted to use a general generic term.
How is it general? Why isn't an eight refer to a tree, and not to a Yerek, or not to Asaph? Not the chita.
Why what?
How is it general?
How is it general? Oh. I was thinking, like, I don't have an example.
So we said there's a word, ne'itza, right?
Ne'itza.
Oh, dug in.
Means something inserted into another thing. Something stuck into something else is no'itz. Right?
Okay.
So we said the word eitz comes from that word. Eitz is derived from that word of no'itz. Correct. Meaning to say that eitz is referred to the object that is definitively stuck. Notice that is part of its definition. Part of its definition is that it's implanted.
I mean, the chita is just like descriptively, no, it's not. That's not the nature of its.
Everything can all vegetation you can say is descriptively nuts. But since it's going to be harvested and destroyed, and it's not going to exist like that, doesn't have any kiyum, its existence doesn't have any kiyum, you don't call it an eitz. You call an eitz the thing that is definitively not. Now, how could you call the eitz hadas eitz? Because it was not supposed to be eaten.
It was supposed to stay there.
And therefore,
it was supposed to stay there.
But then it would die.
So
meaning
it
still wouldn't be permanent. Chita would eventually die.
Extraneously, it's an eitz. Because of the circumstance, it would be an eitz.
But were it not eaten, it would have died, like normal chita.
Yeah,
I mean, like the... But the thing itself still would have died. It wouldn't have been nuts.
Then it would have ceased to be an eitz. Every eitz dies! What do you think? Eitz don't die?
But I mean, like, as its natural flow.
All right, so let's do my focus, though, on what is an eitz, Rashi and the Rush.
Wow.
Take a look at the tour. Take a look at the tour.
Rashi and Rashi on this Mishnah.
On the next piece, what is an eitz? With the Rush says that if you don't replant it, you can go to the next piece.
You mean? No.